Acts chapter 3, we left off at verse 11. Let's see. I'll try to do 11 through the end of the chapter here. As you're finding your way there, you'll remember here as we looked in Acts chapter 3, where we began, Peter and John were together. They were going into the temple during the hour of prayer. A man that had been carried there on a regular occurrence, most likely daily, at the gate Beautiful, was there outside the temple as he was asking for alms. Alms, by the way, in the Bible, somebody who's asking of alms, it was the Jewish practice of providing spare change to the poor. Those that had medical conditions and things where they couldn't take care of themselves. Of course, it was in the Jewish law that they should be taking care of those who cannot take care of themselves. That's part of the reason the thought behind certain things that are put into our government system is the idea that, you know, when somebody cannot take care of themselves, they should have some help with that. Amen? Because we don't want people hungry and impoverished and things like that. And so if they are have a condition or whatever, and so that's what's going on there. So here's a man who's has a physical healing need. He's in need of money. He's in need of assistance. What did they give him? What he needed most: a relationship with Jesus. Amen. Commanded him that he would rise up and walk in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So he's been healed. Now he's leaping and praising God and goes into the temple for the first time in his life. He gets to see what's beyond that beautiful gate and show others what God has done for him. And, you know, on that note, we should be thankful for what the Lord has done for us to the extent we want other people to see it. Amen. When we've been touched by the hand of Christ, we want the whole world to see that. That's nothing to be ashamed of. And so here he is, he's not worried about what anyone else thinks. He's gone into the temple, he's showing off the healing that has taken place in his life, and others have seen this, and they are looking on him with wonder and amazement. Aren't you thankful today that the world can look on us with wonder and amazement for what God has done in our lives? Amen. What a precious thing that is. And now we find ourselves at verse 11. So Acts chapter 3, starting in verse 11, the scripture reads this: "And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk?" So you see, they're on Solomon's porch. They're big landing. A lot of people there, a lot of people present. And he's holding on to them. I mean, you can imagine why you would want to embrace them. Amen. He's very, very thankful and grateful for what they were willing to do for him. And it was Jesus that did it, yet it was their obedience that allowed that to happen. We should be thankful for those who serve the Lord in our lives. Amen? Who minister to us. And be forever grateful for those who are willing to stand for the Word of God to help us see what we needed in our spiritual life, which is Christ. And so here he's holding on to them, and now these people are gathered around and they're marveling. And, you know, I love what he says here in verse 12. "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this?" That's a fair statement. I think that if it had been all Gentiles and people that maybe hadn't been there for the whole life of Christ and all the miracles he had done, maybe he would have understood the amazement a little bit more. But here he's asking, you know, because they've been around the miracles of God throughout their entire history. Starting with how they got led out of Egypt, the parting of the Red Sea, the feeding of the manna in the wilderness, all through their history, all the victories that Israel had been given, and then all the miracles that Christ had done. But I don't think this was a marveling in a negative sense, as in with doubt. This was a marveling in a positive sense. But I think what he's getting at is, don't you expect God to do the things that he's always done and be as good as he's always been? We have a great God. Why do we think all of a sudden he's just going to stop doing things in people's lives? Amen? Why marvel at this as if God was not going to do this? But then more importantly, or why look ye so earnestly on us? I love that because it's important, especially in ministry, that the attention is immediately deflected off of self and onto Christ. Amen? Give him the glory. I didn't do anything. Give him the glory. And that's, you know, here's, that takes some humility, and these men are very humble because they've just done a mighty miracle work. God has used them to do that. Here's an opportunity. They could take glory for themselves. They can boast on this. They could even exploit this situation, right? We got people out here now, if you pay enough money, you can show up to their little miracle revival and they'll do all kinds of stuff. And see what I'm saying? There's people exploiting these things for personal gain. We need to be pointing the world to Jesus Christ and letting him be glorified for what he's doing. And so they address this. Why are you looking on us as though by our own power, as if I did anything, they didn't do. And I also like this. Or holiness, we had made this man to walk. So first thing is, we should expect God to do marvels in our lives. Amen. That's first point of this verse. We should expect God to do good things in our lives. God wants to do good things in our lives. Amen. Second, they deflected the attention and glory unto God. Don't look at me, don't look at us, don't look at people, look to God. We should be living to point people to Christ. Now we have this by our own power and holiness. And so they're admitting that all power belongs to Jesus Christ. He's the one that has the power. We don't have the power in ourselves, it's of him. Amen. And so the power comes from God. But I also like this, or our own holiness. Now, there's a word, you may not have ever heard this word before, but there is a theology out there. It's called holy metrics. I don't know if you've ever heard that terminology before. What it basically implies is that a man's holiness increases his anointing to be able to do miraculous works for God. They just said by their own, why do you think by my own holiness I did this? Our holiness comes from Jesus Christ. Amen? Now we are to live a life that reflects his holiness in our life. And, you know, we're to crucify our flesh and we're to, you know, do our best for the Lord. But your own ability to abstain from sin is not going to give you more anointing than the person next to you today. It's all through the faith and trust in the finished works of Christ at Calvary. Amen. What Jesus has done in Brother Brian's life, he can do in anybody's life. Amen. It's not what he's done in your life, he can do in your family's life. And so it's not in here, this work was done, and they're saying it's not by our own holiness, because the fact of the matter is, and we know this, we are made holy by Christ and only by Christ. Amen. Our own works do not make us more or less powerful to do special things for the Lord. Amen. Now, yes, there are spiritual gifts given to people, and those are given by the Holy Spirit according as he will. And so the reality of it is, everybody here today, this evening, has a gift that's been given to them from the Lord. Amen? And those gifts are differing one from another. And why does God do that? Because we're many members in one body. Does the hand do the same thing as the foot? No, but they're both important. And I guess some people can train a foot to do what a hand can do, but it's better if you have both the hand and the foot, is it not? So it's the same, and there's references to that in the Bible. I'm not going to get in that. Not going to get into that this evening. But the Holy Spirit gives gifts. I'm not teaching on those spiritual gifts tonight. But Everybody has a purpose for the Lord. Amen. You can do something tonight I can't do. And you may have influence on people I don't have influence on. And there's people in my life that I can reach that you can't reach. There's things that God's allowing me to do that He may not have called you to do. And there's things that you do that I can't do. But God needs us all to work together and to use those gifts that He's given us for the edification of the body. Here we have Peter and John. All they wanted to do was obey what the Holy Spirit was telling them to do, and they healed this man, but his healing came for the glorification of Christ, that they would point people to the gospel. And so that's what they've done. It said, it's not our holiness that has made this man walk. It's not by our own power. Listen to this in verse 13. The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, have glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. Here again, they've just taken this as an occasion, an opportunity to preach the gospel. Amen? And a reminder to these devout Jews. They're now marveling at this. And now he's pointing them and reminding them of their relationship as well through the Jewish faith. And then they're telling them, here's the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers. Has glorified his son Jesus. He's showing them now Jesus Christ and reminding them that they're the ones that delivered him up for crucifixion because they denied him, even though he was sent to them, the Messiah, as king, and they rejected him. His own esteemed him not. That's what the Bible says, amen, in Isaiah. His own esteemed him not. We live in a world today still doesn't want to esteem Jesus Christ, right? Still denying. So, they've pointed this out to them, and let me just give you this point. It is our faith and dependence on Christ and His holiness that allows us to do anything for Him in the ministry, in the lives of others. Amen? It's our faith and dependence on Him and His holiness and His works. It's our faith in Him that allows us to do anything that in the ministry or in the lives of others. Amen. So it's important, and they've pointed that out. Now they've pointed them back to Christ and to the gospel, reminding them that they had delivered him up for crucifixion. Listen to this in verse 14. But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. Now, if you remember, as Pilate had two men, it was the custom that they would release a prisoner. They could have had Jesus released. And Barabbas was also being held, and he was to be put to death for murder. And only one of them could be released, and the crowd shouted, "Give us Barabbas!" Think about that. They could have had the Holy Christ, the Just One, who had done nothing wrong. Even Pilate had pled with them over this. He's guilty of nothing. And he wanted to cleanse his hands of the situation, and it was already too late for that. And they desired a murderer. So they desired Barabbas. You know what I thought about when I read that? We still have a world that desires Barabbas. Amen. Over Jesus. Amen. We got a world that ought to glorify Christ and accept His grace and make Him Lord over their life, but they've refused to through unbelief. It's the same unbelief that had these Jews reject Christ, same unbelief working in the hearts of all those that reject Christ in the world around us today. And the Jews denied Christ, and what they desired instead was Barabbas. But you know what? Man's desire today shows us that they're no different than they were back then. Amen? I guess it just kind of goes to show us just how low they think of the righteous and the just. Amen? It's not just that the world desires murder and mayhem over righteousness and truth. It's that not only do they desire to live in that condition, but they also have a palpable hatred for those who are righteous and holy. Amen? So, just as they hated Jesus, you know, he told us, they'll hate you also, right? So if you decide to live for Christ and you decide that you're going to live, that you're going to put this as your guide in life. You're going to live for the truth. If you want, you have Christ's righteousness on you. You're not ashamed of what Jesus has done in your life. You know you've gotten saved. You're thankful that God's done that miracle in your life. Now you're going to live for the Lord and tell others about Him. They'll hate you too. Amen? Because we live in a world that's desired the wrong things and has a heart in the wrong place. But on that topic as well, and on that note, we live in a world today that still wants murder and still wants ill behavior and sin over righteousness and wants this over Christ. And I thought about the number one thing that puts the explanation point on that. The number one thing that just proves that statement that that's what the world's on. Look at our entertainment. Hello. Look at our entertainment. The things that we desire to look on that we consider to be entertaining to us shows the spiritual state of our nation. Amen. The reality of it is, if you look at the progressive, it just really highlights something. First of all, the Bible tells us sin would wax worse and it would get worse, but the love of many would go cold and all this. But the stuff that used to be rated R 30 years ago is now rated PG. Hello. And the stuff that's on rated R movies now is, I mean, you're like, it shows a seared conscience. Amen? I mean, it's unbelievable. You know what it shows you? Just as the Bible told us, the things would just degrade and get worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. Amen? And so we have to consider that and take a look at that. But the reality of it is, we have a we live in a world where people have violence, murder, drug use, sexual sin, and it's mainstream. It's on television. It's in the movies, and it's in our music. Amen. And there's an appetite for it. Well, when we get, and hello, I used to have an appetite for it. The reality of it is this: you get saved, you get the Holy Spirit of God. And I don't know, I'm sure that this is not only my experience, man, it's probably been your experience as well. You know, I used to like this, and it doesn't sound right to me anymore. I don't know how I feel about, maybe I should make some changes in some things that I'm looking to for entertainment. Do you know why that is? Because in your life in Christ, you realize you don't relate to that anymore. Got it. Amen. But it doesn't, you don't relate to it anymore. You can't make that connection. See, our music is about what we connect with. And so it's just a matter of, the reality is that connection gets severed because now the Holy Spirit's gone in here and gotten all up in the way. And so here, this is what happens. We get conviction. Amen. And we get under conviction. And as we walk with the Lord, I mean, there's still, look, we live in a world, I'm sorry, you go out in public, it's impossible. You're going to see something, hear something, or whatever that you didn't want to. Amen? And here's also what happens. The more you have the exposure to it, the more it can change your spirit as well. Amen? So it's just like, you know, if you have people in your work environment that are constantly, you know, dropping profanity at you all day long, especially if you're young in Christ and you're trying to get to a point where what you say is different and you're hearing that all day long and you're working on yourself, it's easier for you to slip because you've had it put into the ear gate to the soul all day long. Amen. And so here's the thing, and I'm not trying to make anyone feel bad for their, you know, I don't make moral conflicts out of every decision in life. But here's the reality of it is, all of us have the responsibility to pay attention to the Holy Spirit of God. And if we're watching something or listening to something or we're entertained by something and all of a sudden we don't feel right about it anymore, yield. yield to the Lord. Lord, guide me in this area because I don't want to be attracted to the things that you don't want me to be attracted to. This is an area I need to grow in, Lord. Help me with that. And so while I'm on the topic, here's a 30-day challenge. If God lays on your heart that there are some things maybe that could be better in this area, and I'm taking the challenge too. I'm going to go through, and by the way, it doesn't have to be four-letter words to be profane. And, you know, listen, the standard for Christ is very high. But let's look at some things. Maybe God gives us conviction on certain things, and let's say for 30 days, replace those things with something that we know is good and pleasing to the Lord. If it's music, change this station for that station. Go from whatever station it is to K-Love. If it's TV, go from something that is predisposition to go the wrong way and find Christian television or find some Christian programming. They've got Christian programming for kids all the way up to adults. Amen. And just work on that. Do it for 30 days. Watch how different you feel after those 30 days. Watch how it makes an impact on those decisions that we make. And I'll share quickly, you know, one of the first things I needed to do for me to stop talking and having the constant slips of things that I don't like to say as a Christian, because I know I get convicted about it. I realized that if that stuff is all I hear coming into my ears, it's going to make it hard for me to clean up my act. I'll tell you this, as a Christian, it's hard enough if you had a lot of bad habits before Christ, because the flesh is always fighting against the spirit. It's hard enough when you're listening to hours of VCI network. You know that radio? By the way, they got a station up there in Zanesville, but I stream it off my phone. I like that radio station. I get a lot of preaching on that. But if you're listening to your Christian music and you're listening to good preaching and you're listening to things and you're saturating your life with that, it can still be hard to stay on the right path. So knowing that, how much harder is it to stay on the right path if you're not saturating yourself with the things of God, right? So take that challenge. See if it makes a difference in how you feel and your progress and your growth as a Christian. The Christian life is a life of growing. It's a life of growth. It's a life of development. And so there, I'll leave that where it is. But I just thought the world today, still after the wrong things, we should desire the better things, desire Christ. So here they said, but ye denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God has raised from the dead, whereof we are all witnesses. And so it just shows in contrast the world from Christ. The world desires the murder and mayhem. Christ is life. He's the Prince of Life, Prince of Peace as well. He's the creator of life, and he's the giver of life. He's the light, and the light is the life of men. They crucified him, but God raised him from the dead. Verse 16, and his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong. See, what was it that caused the healing? Faith in Jesus Christ. That's what made that man strong. Whom ye see and know, yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all, showing them that the reason he was healed was to glorify Christ. The reason for him to glorify Christ through this healing was to show these Jews one more time the power and the grace of God, to point them to Christ as Messiah and Savior. Verse 17, and now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. And so he's telling them, yes, it's true that through ignorance you crucified Christ. However, your own word, the Bible that you study in the synagogue every week, and the mouth of all the prophets that you read from, told you that Christ should suffer, is what he's telling them. And the scriptures concerning Christ has been fulfilled. He's pointing them again. Look at all the fulfillments of your own word here. And then tells them this, and we'll leave off with verse 19, because this is the second time we see this in the chapter. Repent. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Again, I want to point out here, as we close out on this, the repentance that's being preached is for the Jew to stop rejecting Christ as Messiah and accept the fact that Christ is the Son of God. This is Christ that the prophets spoke of. He fulfilled the scriptures. He's fulfilled the law. He's fulfilled all that was concerning him. And they need to turn from rejecting him, because the only way that they will have the conversion in their life, the only way that they'll have their sins forgiven, is when they stop trusting in the wrong things for their justification and turn to Jesus Christ and all he did for them. He's the one that made it available. Amen. These were the Jews that were still, you know, wanting the law to justify them, wanting their religion to justify them. They were just couldn't get over that. They still were holding Christ in rejection. Now their eyes again are being opened to the truth. Here's another opportunity God's given them to turn from their denial and unbelief and accept Christ as their Savior. Aren't you thankful for the many opportunities Christ gives people to turn from their life of rejecting Jesus and to accept what he's done for them? And through that acceptance and through that faith, he strengthens that which was weak. He gives healing. He does miracles. And he blesses our lives so that we too can show what God has done for us, to glorify him, that other people will see the gospel working and want it as well for themselves. With that, let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for this evening. Thank you for your word. Thank you for reminding us and challenging us, Lord. Lord, we want our lifestyle decisions to be that which glorifies you, Lord. And I know we all have areas. We all have things to work on. And one person might have this to work on. Another person might have that to work on. But we all have something we can work on, Lord. And God, I ask that you will lead, guide, and direct us with your Holy Spirit in those things that we can do to take those steps in our faith to live a life that's pleasing to you, Lord. I ask that you will make us brave and give us courage, give us boldness, Lord, to not be ashamed of the good things that have been done in our lives at our conversion. And Lord, we want to show that to the world around us. We want to show them that, you know what, things can be different, and that you make the difference, and that it starts with having our sin debt wiped out through faith in the finished works of Christ at Calvary. Thank you, Lord, for the forgiveness of sins. Thank you for putting up with us, Lord. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Lord, help us be a reason for the world around us to marvel, Lord. Help us leave behind those old desires for the wrong things and embrace the new desires that you're giving us for the right things, Lord. Help us grow in grace and knowledge of you, Lord. We need to grow, and we do that through studying your word and reading your word and preaching and teaching. And God, we just ask that you would continue to help us, strengthen us in the weaker areas, that we can have full joy and blessing in our Christian lives, Lord. We love you. We thank you for this evening. Thank you for the message from your word. And God, help us apply these truths in our heart and help us show these truths to the world around us. In Jesus' name, amen.